Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Cawson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
It's moving day.
Moving day. How stressed are you right now that you're not at the house?
It's literally...
directing the movers? Where to go?
I cannot run out of here fast enough. Because I'm such a... I would call myself an amazing delegator.
It needs to be a more intense word than amazing.
What does it need to be?
I don't even know. I can't come up with the vocabulary for it.
I like to delegate. And the fact that I'm not there right now with the movers, because we had such a bad experience moving out of our Nashville house to here.
Because you hired 16-year-old kids that were stealing all of our stuff.
I did not hire 16-year-old kids. They were a company. And I don't think I could say the company, but they hired 16-year-old kids. And they stole our booze. Interesting.
They tried to steal alcohol.
They tried to steal alcohol, and then they broke a couple pieces of furniture, and then they threw all of our stuff into the storage unit, and it just...
It looks like everything's destroyed.
It looks like every piece of our furniture is broken.
I was so angry that I couldn't be there.
Of all things to not skimp on, they say the movers is one of them. It sounds like you guys were cutting costs.
Michael? No.
Just stretching here.
No. So I somehow got in charge of this.
Somehow. She didn't say, I got it. I'll hire him. I'll be there. I got it.
You weren't even there when we moved out of the National
House. And then
house.
For some reason, you wanted to take a flight out the same day thinking, oh yeah, the mover said they'll be done by 3.
That's what they said.
No one's ever done on time.
How did you find these people?
I've used them before. It's, you know, all of my brothers, but changed the name.
That was the company?
They're a very big company.
Okay.
And I called, and they weren't the cheapest route, but they did a terrible job. But we did call, and we talked to the company, and they gave us...
They gave us a lot of money.
Oh, that's good.
But it's just going to break my heart, because when we went back to Nashville a couple weeks ago, I showed him what the storage unit looked like, and it literally looks like... I mean, there's broken side glasses and side tables, and all of our vases look broken, because they just threw it in there.
It looks like a dumpster at the dump, where they put all the furniture... But in a storage unit.
And that's my bad, because I shouldn't have left that day, but we were flying to 4th of July for vacation. So I had everything planned, you know?
And if people aren't up to Jana's plan, it ruins everything.
Hey, I did already. Yeah. Anyways.
This is the fact neither that I'm not there. Right.
So here we are again, though. We're still not there for the move. Now we've got these movers, but I trust this moving company.
My friend Chris, a guy I used to know in Wisconsin, he moved from Wisconsin to Florida recently, and he made news on this because he went to the news to try to bust these people. They loaded his stuff. They made him pay in cash. Red flag. There were a bunch of red flags. Ooh. And he didn't see his stuff for like 2.5 months.
What?
And then I was calling and say, oh, no, we got it. Yeah, it's coming. No, it's coming. Yeah, we got it. We'll be there Tuesday. Then they wouldn't show up Tuesday. And just weeks and weeks and months went by. He had to go in the local news. It got picked up in different cities. Like, he's really, because he went on a Facebook group and tons of people have the same problem with the same company.
Oh, my gosh.
They just steal your stuff.
Whose company? What was it?
I should look up the name of the company.
Yeah, you should.
But he ended up getting his stuff back. A lot of it was broken and some of it was stolen, but he got most of it back, and he had already been convinced he was never getting any of it back, so he considered that a win, and he's moving on. But
Did he do research? Not to say it's not your friend.
He'll be the first to admit he should have done more research. The Yelp reviews, the Better Business Bureau check, he should have done all that. He didn't.
That kind of stuff.
He saw a great deal and he took it.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, you got to.
Yeah.
Well, we got this mover from Instagram. Because when someone on Instagram, like I said, who's your favorite moving companies?
Oh, yeah.
And this girl was like, oh, my brother's friend or whatever works for the company.
Well, they've been great because the guy that like owns the company came to the house.
Yeah, Ryan. He's amazing.
He's been on a, you know, direct line basis with
North American Moving Company. This is not an ad, but they've been great so far.
Yeah.
So that's
why
I do trust
that we're not there. Today is D-Day. Today is when we find out how great they are.
That's true. And I'm so stressed out. I am. Oh, my God. It's all champagne problems, but I am very stressed because we don't actually know when we're closing on our house because things keep getting...
This is my wife at her finest.
Well, no. Here, let me just break it down for you guys. So we were told we were going to close on the 14th, okay?
Of May?
June,
okay.
Of June, okay. But something happened with their pool company, and so I'm not going to say their name.
No.
But so we, again, we took out a loan to get a pool because it's expensive to have a pool, right? So we took out a loan or a line of credit. And we picked out the pool, and we tried to go a little cheaper route because this other route was more expensive. So, but we, all I said, my number one thing is I want a splash pad for the kids. I want it to be 6 to 7 inches of water, something that's great that we can sit in with a chair or even just,
oh, like
you
a kiddie pool,
like a little kiddie splash pad. And then the rest of it can be for the adults. Okay. But
does
the
anything
first
shoot up out of it? Cause when I think of splash pad, I think of stuff shooting.
We
out.
Didn't, we opted not for that.
Yeah. So just, you know, just a regular splash pad. And they're like, oh, great. Absolutely. Like no problem at all. Totally. It's going to be amazing. So the girl that works the company sent me a picture of the pool when it was getting put into the ground, and I'm looking at it and I was like,
what does this have to do with the delay?
It's about the pool.
Okay. I think Deanna just wants to vent about her pool. We got it fixed.
But it's, let me just, 1 second.
Okay.
So she sends me a picture of the pool, and I was like, that doesn't look like a splash pad. So I'm like, this is interesting. So they put the shell in the ground, and then we go there like a month or so later. And I was like, Michael, where are they filling the water up to? And he's like, this line. I was like, how deep is that? 2.5 feet. So me sitting in the splash pad would be water up to my forehead. So then this is
perfect,
this is,
for kids, they say.
How is that perfect? Because my daughter couldn't sit in that.
Yeah.
My son will, like, he will not be able to even be in the pool at all now. Can't even sit. Because I'll have to hold them above my head while I'm sitting like Simba. Okay. So this is where I go bad. This is where I need to learn to be a better person, because I go straight to, I text message the girl. Where in your right mind do you think that this is a splash pad? 2.5 feet. This is effing ridiculous. And I sent a picture of me with the, the tape measure. How is that? To where it was measured. How is that where in your brain is that perfect for kids? And Michael's like, what is that gonna do?
I was
that
like, not, honey, do you want the solution or do you want their
I
thinking?
Want their logic. And that's the thing.
Their logic.
I want the logic of honestly what you thought. Like, just like, you know how you say to me, Mike, why would you ask me a question when I'm making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I want a little social awareness.
Situational awareness.
Situational awareness, yeah.
It's my favorite term.
It's his favorite. But I want to know, like, in your, like, seriously, right mind, and they've never answered that question, so it really bothers me. So long story short, they had to take the pool thing out, and now we have to pay more money because they're like, oh, yeah, no, they can't do a splash pad like that. Why'd you put it in the pool? So take out more. So now they're like, but we promise this won't delay your closing. We promise this will not delay. I know, but let me just vent. This will not delay. Stop it right now. This will not delay your closing. Well, I'm about to sit down and I'm reading an email, and I got an email from the builder saying, we're now delayed because your pool won't be done.
Oh.
And I was like, are you effing serious? I was like, I am furious.
What's funny about this is this was all in the last few days. Since then, before this episode, we've gotten it taken care of.
But I don't think we have.
We've had the solution.
I don't think we have.
We're back on track.
I don't think we
have. But Janice still has those feelings of,
I don't think we are.
Why?
Because we still haven't gotten the email. I mean, we are a week away from potential closing, and we still have not gotten an email from our builder saying we can close, and I have a feeling the pool company is going to somehow screw this up. And I just, like, screw it. But I'm just
frustrated. And again, what, like, getting after them and attacking them, what is that going to solve when it comes to something as complicated as a house finishing and closing?
Let me tell you why.
I don't want them to rush.
I don't either.
I don't want them to half-ass something. What's the difference between a week?
Let me tell you what the difference is, because your wife has literally planned everything.
I know, because you had the movers come at the first possible time that we could close.
I had to. There's no other way to be able to share the moving truck with our friend Julie. So that's the thing. So the movers from here to Nashville, their delivery window is the 13th through the 19th.
There was no leeway. There's no, like, given room for error here.
Yeah, so I said,
the way Jana planned it.
But no, but that was there that, or we were going to pay $5,000 more money. So this way we were able to share a moving van with Julie. Would you have done differently, darling?
No, honey, you handled it perfectly.
No, I'm curious. Would you have handled it differently and no, not save the $5,000?
No, it's just for me. I mean, and we have different, and I think this is where we actually, you know, counterbalance each other well. Because there's times where you get a bit of news and you just want to immediately make that call, send that email, say, what the, you know, what the F, this, that, the other. I'm like, honey, let's just give it a second. Let's
what
see.
Does giving a second do, though?
Because,
that's the thing.
Because, like, even with the pool stuff, they talked to Justin.
After we sent the mean email. After I sent the scathing email saying, how dare you? You promised that this was not going to hold our delay.
And you were like, call him. I'm like, I'm going to call him. Get up right now and go call him. And when I called him and it went to his voicemail, you know why it went to his voicemail? Because he was on the phone with our builder trying to figure it out.
Because I sent a text message to his daughter saying, I will not promote this company and I will not like tell my neighbors because of you. You said that this would not delay our closing. So I just said, speak on your word and or tell us, like call us. I don't want to hear this third hand from like the builder. Come to us and say, you know what? I messed up on the timing. Because I have, you know, all these pieces, and it's just been so frustrating because I'm like, if not, then we're going to have to get in our storage unit to store all the stuff.
I'm just more the one that just, all right, let's talk to everybody involved. Let's figure this out, and then we'll go from there.
So clearly this is a stressful situation.
Yes.
How is this affecting your relationship? Because I think the best couples, which I count you among those.
you do?
Of course.
That's right.
Fight more often, bicker more often, argue more often in these stressful situations. Have you found that to be the case?
No.
No.
Well, that's good.
And I think it's because, and I give Jana credit for that too. Actually, now that you bring it up, because she's able to understand how my personality works. So she understands that I'm a little bit more laissez-faire. I'm a little bit more political.
I'll call next week on the pool. Company.
And Jana, and I understand that Jana needs to, she can't not say something immediately. She can't. So I understand that she needs to do that. I understand that I'm going to counterbalance that and be the one that actually talks to these people and finds a solution respectfully and professionally. Well, Jana threatens their firstborn. So we know how each other operate and we just make it work.
Good.
Yeah. I don't think we're kind of past the days of trying to convince each other that our way is the way to do things.
Look, I'm saying I need definite help with some of those areas and not being so
right, and that's
on the gun. And I'm working on that. I just know though that text message did have the builder then call. Or the guy then called our builder to say, hey, I don't want to be the reason.
Right. And I credit you where, you know, our builder said we were going to be a month behind and Jana kind of
Oh, yeah, listen to this. So our builder was like, we're going to be, you can't move until the end of July.
Oh.
And I was like, we going to be in an RV then because our Airbnbs, we only have it for a month.
Yeah. So Jana basically sent a pretty aggressive email that I would have worded a little differently. Oh. But it was in that moment, it was effective because next thing you know, he got all of the other third party contractors to work
together.
On the same timeline and work together. So they were able to make up that month. So, you know, that's the situation where it worked.
Sometimes
I probably wouldn't have gotten, just because something like this, I understand there's going to be delays.
Totally.
You know, so I'm a little bit more lenient on that. But because Jana scared the death into this poor man.
Shut up.
He
no,
said,
I just
okay.
said, please, you know, this is, there's
please.
A lot of moving. I said, please, sir.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're
No,
your
I just
read.
Said, there's a lot
please,
of moving,
sir.
There's a lot of moving parts. So whatever you can do on your end would greatly help. I mean, we're moving with two kids, you know, it's got dogs. We got stuff everywhere. So anyways, but end of the day, this is all champagne problems. We are extremely blessed to be moving into a new house.
Yes.
We are excited. We have started to begin the process of grieving the old Nashville and welcoming the new Nashville, which has been, you know, we just had a kind of a rough session the other day, but it's good. It's we're excited.
We're gonna attack it together.
Yeah. I'm really excited because we have two fantastic guests, but I'm gonna take a quick little break, and then I'll fill you in.
Well,
we should tell them who it is, and then we'll because the first one's ready to go next.
What?
Christina's on next, so we should.
All right.
Oh, she's here?
Yeah.
Fabulous. Okay. All right. So we have Christina Kuzmic, who's in studio, and I'm super pumped to have her because she's really rocking the whole tell the truth, be authentic. And I think that's definitely something that we at Wind Down.
She's got a great story.
Like to embrace. So we are pumped to have her. And then Mark, am I allowed to say the other one?
No.
Okay. But I can I tease it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then honey.
What?
We have a special guest for you.
Who would be a special guest for me? Like, honestly, who do I really care about that much?
You are.
Is it
going...
Michael Scott?
Who's that?
I think that's a fictional character.
Oh, is that the guy from The Office?
Steve Carell.
No, but gosh, that'd have been a good one.
But no, don't say any more yeses and nos. Just
say. So we're gonna play a game, though. I want you to play a game.
Will I be able to guess questions. from
his voice,
his or her?
We can't tell you that.
I already said his.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh.
It's his. It's gonna be so much fun. I'm so excited. Okay, right. I can't wait. Let's take a break.
When we were brushing our teeth the other morning,
yeah,
did you notice, you know, we always brush Jolie's teeth at night, and we've been trying to get her
to brush her own
in the morning.
Yeah.
Right. And the other day was the first time we were both brushing our teeth, mm-hmm. and she was in the living room. She saw what we were doing and went and grabbed her new Quip toothbrush.
She did.
Because it looks just like mom and dad's.
Yeah.
And got it. She even brought her stool in from her bathroom.
I know.
And stood in the middle of our sinks.
No, it was cute because again, at night, like we brush our teeth, but I think in like the morning, it's been something fun for her to be like, all right, like it's time to brush your teeth like before school.
Yeah.
So it's nice that she's like, oh, like mom and dad have a Quip. I have a Quip.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what Quip is, by the way, they're amazing. It's a toothbrush and it's great because it has a built-in 2-minute timer, pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you to clean your mouth evenly. And what's great too is a lot of times, I forget to throw away my toothbrush, but since I've been using Quip, it's great because the brush heads are actually automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5.
And Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews like
and
ours.
A good news too for the mamas out there. So the new Quip Kids brush is the same as the original version. So they just tweaked down for a little, you know, size down mouse, which again, it's really important for the kids to develop great habits with brushing their teeth for the grown-up routine. And it's like, you know, no childish gimmicks on it. But that is why we love Quip and why over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do too. So Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/Jana right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip, getquip.com/Jana.
Now in studio, we're very excited. We have pretty much missed everything. Christina Kuzmic.
Literally. And I just love this. So, and we have, it's an evening with Christina Kuzmic, Hope and Humor Tour.
Yeah, this is the 20 city tour I'm on. And I'm so excited. I've been having so much fun.
So we did a mini tour for this. And it was like, it's the great, like to have that interaction.
Yes.
Is so incredible.
Yeah, like, because I hear from, you know, moms or just anybody in general that follows me online, but it's so different reading a comment or meeting them face to face and hearing their story. And I love it.
How many cities in are you right now?
20. I've done 8.
You've done 8 out of 20.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
everything's been going great.
It's been amazing. I basically wrote this one woman show. It's almost 2 hours, including intermission. And we call it the Hope and Humor Tour because it's a lot of comedy that everybody can relate to. I tell funny stories about, you know, being a mom. And then also, I shared the message of like how I went from being almost homeless and depressed to like loving my life now. So my whole goal was I want to leave everybody that leaves, I want them to feel not only like less alone. Oh my gosh, I can relate to that. I've been through that. I can laugh at that. Yes. Wait, I'm normal. Like, which we all wonder, am I normal? But also just feeling stronger and braver. And, you know, I feel like a cheerleader for parents. I'm like, I want to make you feel like a badass.
No, totally. That's kind of what we were talking about. We're like, wow, it was like, that was like we were comedians, but then we were also like
therapists
in a way,
and
but then also motivators. Like they left with a takeaway. They left with something they could be like, wow, like I want to change my relationship this way. I don't know. It's such a cool thing.
And it's the best combination because I think humor is like medicine.
Yeah.
And then we need that little bit of therapy, you know, and support.
So is it primarily just for the moms or is it like a mom's night out kind of thing?
That's what I sort of thought of it because most of my following are parents, but then a lot of men have been showing up, single dads, which has been amazing. Yeah.
That's great.
And then through the meet and greet, I've met so many people who are like, I've never had kids. I don't even want kids, but your message of how you went from hating yourself to loving yourself, like, mm-hmm. resonates with me, or the things you talk about insecurity wise, because we all have insecurities. So it's been really wonderful to see that the message is resonating with people who yeah. have no interest in being parents.
Right. And then you can just kind of tap into both of those things in yes. your message. Yeah. By the way, I love your necklace.
Thank you.
Where'd you get it from?
It is so old. I have no idea.
I love it.
Probably older than my children.
No, it's so pretty. I'm going to take a picture of that when you leave because it's so pretty. I love it.
That's amazing.
Remember I used to wear one like every day like that?
Yeah,
sorry,
you
did. I just went super off topic.
Yeah, squirrel.
So when you say basically homeless, what does that mean?
So after my divorce, I just wanted to sort of tiptoe out of the marriage and not cause any more drama. Mm-hmm. I felt bad because I was the one initiating the divorce, even though, you know, I felt like it was, I needed to leave. And so I asked for no child support. I just left and started working like 2-3 part-time jobs. Could only afford to share a bedroom with my little kids. So we had a roommate in another room. And I couldn't even afford a bed. I slept on the floor. I ended up on food stamps. And was late for rent almost every month, begging my landlord, please, 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 like, mm-hmm. don't kick us out. Had every homeless shelter in our area, like, written down on a piece of paper. Because wow. I was like, I can't. My kids were 1.5 and 3 when I left.
Oh, my God.
So you.
Where was your husband or ex-husband at the time?
He lived, like, an hour away.
Okay.
And so, and he would have them most weekends. So on the weekends, I would just work, 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 work.
Yeah.
And I just sunk into this, like, depression and just felt like, you know, my kids deserve so much better. Why did they get such a loser mom who can't even, like, put food on the table? I had a friend who worked at Starbucks, and he convinced his manager, you know, they have, when the foods go stale, they're not bad. Like, yeah. you're not going to get sick, but they're just stale. He convinced him to give them to me. So, like, he would bring me a bag of Starbucks. And I'm like, I'm feeding my kids, like, stale food. You know, I just, and so then I start contemplating suicide because I thought, Maybe my kids would be better off if I was just gone. I know. It's now when I think about it, it just breaks my heart that I even went there. And then slowly started sort of what I realized is I have to change my perception of me before my life can change. You know, a lot of times we wait for life to change in order to change our attitude towards life. You got to change your attitude first and then life will change. And so I just got really proactive about my life and I got really feisty and I just slowly, I always tell people nothing happens overnight. Don't expect to happen overnight. But I just slowly built my life into, you know, I'm in a place where I can't even imagine, like, I can't even imagine being in that place again, you know.
How did you get yourself out of that? Because I think that's the hardest thing for, you know, I've been there too, where you're just so depressed and it's like, all right, you just got to do it. Like, tomorrow's it. But it's like, that's so much easier said than done.
Oh, but everything is easier said than done.
Yeah.
Brushing your teeth is easier said than done.
Yeah. And like, some nights, most nights, I just don't do it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I'm with you. So for me, the turning point, as I call it, was deciding to, instead of focusing on everything I don't have and everything I'm not and everything I can't do, I'm going to look for the tiny things, even if they seem insignificant, of what I can do and who I am.
Okay.
And it started with something really simple. The only thing I could think of is I am really confident in cooking. I know how to cook a great meal on a very tiny budget. And so I was like, well, what can you do? Who cares? Well, any meal.
Okay.
Like, I just love cooking.
Okay.
And, you know, my first thought was like, so what? That's not going to change your life. And then my second thought was, I'm going to do something crazy. So I sent an email to all my friends in the area. And I said, again, I'm broke at this point. And I'm like, every Wednesday night, I'm going to feed people. So if you know someone who's struggling financially or maybe an elderly person who lost their spouse and they're lonely, I'm going to feed people. And I went to the 99-cent store and literally spent like $4 on like just pasta or whatever and made this big meal. And I get choked up every time I say this. But that first Wednesday, I fed over 30 people.
Wow.
And that was my turning point because I went, oh my gosh, I am feeling worthless. I feel like I have nothing to offer. I shouldn't even be here. And here these people the next day are emailing me and saying, I needed that night. I needed company. Do you know what I mean? And then I went, well, what else can I do? So just focusing on that little thing. A lot of times we think my talents aren't significant. My gifts don't matter. But like take them and do something with them. And all of a sudden you're going to feel so empowered. So that's probably my biggest piece of advice. Stop focusing on what you aren't and what you can't do and just find that little bit of that you're confident in and do something great with that. It'll give you, you know, it'll show you how much you're worth and how much you matter.
Wow.
That's so hard, so inspiring, but so hard because like you said, like even now I feel like at times you wait for life to put something in front of you, right? You're like, mm-hmm. well, when I get my big break, then I'll know what to do. So the fact that you're able to do that and change your mindset while being in that place is truly inspiring. I hope people really hang on to that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like we waste a lot of our life waiting for this or that to happen before we start fully living our life.
No question.
And no one's going to show up at your door with like, here's a box of happy.
Life doesn't owe you
Exactly.
It doesn't owe you
anything. Yeah.
I think that's because, I mean, I'll even get frustrated, you know, with you, because you'll be like, well, I don't know why people want to come and listen to, like, to me. And I'm like, because people are learning and they're yeah. getting great advice from you. So it's like, and then, so I'm trying to tell them, like, hey, you need to talk to this person to do more speaking engagements. And it's, I'm just like, you like, but I can't force the person to do it.
No, we have to realize on our own how much we actually have to offer.
Yeah. And I think until you can realize that, that's when you can actually tap into all those things, because I can only Kris Jenner you so far.
Right. That's true. No, but I think that is a testament, because that's how it is. And I think it's about insecurity and about mm-hmm. feeling good enough, especially in something that you're not used to doing, where my former career of football and athletics, it's, you start from a young age, and I say this all the time, it's a linear thing. It's tangible. It's on paper what you can do, what your worth is. Mm-hmm. There's a number right there for it, you know. So my whole life, I'm used to having that behind me of like what I'm worth, and now into a brand new field, life without sports, I don't have anything to show. I have nothing behind me. It's like, hey, this is what I'm good at. It's like, well, I played sports my whole life. What do I have to show?
Yeah, but now you have.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Now it's just for me to feel more confident. It's to build my resume up on things instead of going straight to the top.
But how do you build it when you don't start it?
Because the things that we're doing.
Keep moving forward.
Trying to. So yeah. how did you get connected with Oprah and you know, Oprah's search for the next TV star and all that?
So that's an insane story. So I get remarried eventually, and my husband's in grad school, and I'm still broke, so we don't even go on a honeymoon. I did not marry for money the second time either. And so, like, the day after our wedding, he's like, what do you want to do? Like, you have so much energy and you have so much passion, and you've just been in survival mode, like just trying to keep these kids alive. I'm here now. I want to support you. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And so he handed me his car keys, and I drove around 5 hours, and I came back and I said, those Wednesday night dinners I did for people saved my life. I literally feel like they saved my life. And I'm even more passionate about cooking now. I'm going to make some cooking videos and put them on YouTube, thinking nothing of it. Mm-hmm. And then somebody sees one of the videos. This is like weeks after I posted my first video. Somebody sees it and sends me an email and says, oh my gosh, I love your personality. You should enter the Oprah competition. I'm like, I don't have a working television. I have no idea what you're talking about. So they send me a link.
You knew who Oprah was, though.
Oh, okay. I knew who. I mean, I grew up in Croatia.
Oh, Živeli.
In Croatia.
Oh, I'm Croatian.
No, you're not.
Barbara Kosokovic was my great-grandma. My grandma was born in Zagreb.
That's where I was born.
Really?
In Zagreb.
Oh my God.
Yes.
We got to talk.
We got to talk.
I know.
I'm actually going June 15th for 3 weeks.
Oh,
I take my kids every summer.
So bad.
My whole family's there.
Because I still have cousins, like long lost cousins there.
Come with me. June 15th. We're going.
We're actually moving to a new house like that week, but.
Okay.
Any other time, Jana would be like, I'm
next
there.
Next year.
We'll go.
Okay.
But anyway, and so, yeah, obviously I knew Oprah was. Anyway, I send in this little audition tape thinking nothing of it. Mm. And within a few days, it was Mark Burnett's people were producing the show. They call me. I go in. I meet with him, blah, blah, blah. Eventually end up on the reality show, Oprah Search for the Next TV Star. 10 people made it. And still just like in awe. Can't even believe it. Sure, every week I'm the one going home, and I end up winning the whole thing. It was.
Wow.
I mean, but when you think, this is what I keep telling people. Life can surprise you in the worst of ways. I didn't expect to end up divorced and broke and stressed and suicidal, right? But life can surprise you in the best of ways, because like 2 years before I'm hanging out with Oprah and she's handing me a free car and a TV show, I'm sleeping on the floor. Do you know what I mean? Like, life is so crazy.
And to that point too, there's so many times when, even in our situation, it's like, I wouldn't go back and change any of it, because now look what we're doing with it.
Exactly.
Like, you're able to have this message and mm-hmm. and help people through it. Like, we went through that because we have this now platform to be able to go out there and be there for other people. Like, it's awesome.
And
like,
okay. And to your point, Christina, you know, if you'd have stayed in your misery and all that stuff, life wouldn't have surprised you in the way that it did. It was because you were doing those things. It's like karma in a positive way, you know, like you were rewarded.
For
living a better life.
We were rewarded for sticking it out to now help people.
Right.
You know, and you were rewarded for sticking that out to now, like, how it's like, it's okay. Instead of taking the easy route out.
I think one of the most dangerous things humans do is they get passive and apathetic about their life. And you just can't. You have to refuse. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to stay feisty every single day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it.
That's like...
You're just like my love language
right
now.
That's how Jana is. She doesn't know how to not be productive. So I try to level her out and be like, hey, it's okay for us to like chill out for a minute.
No,
she can't.
It's not.
She can't. She does 10 things at once all the time.
Well, I just, you know, I want to keep growing.
Yeah.
You have to keep thinking things and creating and, you know, it's like, if I didn't create, you know, think like the live stuff, you know, just like we're doing too. Like, there's so much you can do from that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you writing a book too, or do you have a book out?
I wrote it. It's coming out beginning of 2020. I was just in New York yesterday meeting with my publisher at Penguin, and
amazing.
I'm super excited. It's called Hold On, But Don't Hold Still.
Oh,
and
love that.
It's, which is sort of my thing. Like, hold on, you got this. Hang mm-hmm. in there, but do not hold still. Be proactive. Keep moving forward.
How was that process for you writing the book?
It was like labor and delivery, except they didn't hand me a baby at the end, so I was a little pissed. Like labor and delivery without an epidural.
What a great way to put it.
Because this is my, again, I grew up in Croatia, moved here in high school, learned the English. There you go. Learned English as a teenager. So I'm writing in a second language, even though I've lived here now longer than in Croatia. It's still like,
right.
So I was like feeling a little inadequate, and then freaking wrote it, and now I'm proud of myself.
Is your home base LA?
Okay, well, you're going to have to come visit us in Nashville.
I will. No,
because that's where we're moving.
I am coming over to your house, uninvited, and I'm making you a Croatian dinner.
Oh, please.
I'm telling you right now.
My grandma makes the best dumplings, and then she does the strudel, too. Like, so good.
Oh, mm.
Yeah. And then we can call them, because her and her boyfriend, Vlado, they just speak Croatian
Vlado's
to
like
each other.
Vlado's like the most popular name. My older kids are Luka and Matea, and those are really popular
Luka.
Names there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I actually have a cousin named Luka. Like, a second or third cousin. Luka.
We need to get her to come be a guest on one of our live shows.
Yes. We need to link up. Yeah.
Are we doing it in Croatian?
I know is Zhivili. So, because I'm also German. So, but my grandma, my grandma met my grandpa in the speaking school, like to speak English.
That's cool.
So he was learning English from Germany, and then she was learning English.
Wait, have you been to Croatia?
I've never been, but I've wanted to go with my grandma because it's beautiful. And
it's
I want to see, because she, you know, she wants to show me where, you know, the bombings and her shelters, and you know, she said she used to eat hay and like about her whole story in Croatia. So I'm like, I really want to go there and see it because I hear it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's stunning.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to be just posting pictures just to make you jealous, just to make you get on a plane and join me.
She will. And then she'll book us a flight like the next day.
Perfect. Probably. I'm like, we just became best friends.
We have to go. I'll meet you there.
So what is, obviously, you know, you're divorced. You've been married now for how long?
9 years.
9 years. What is one thing you learned from the first now with your second?
Yeah. What did you learn from the first marriage that you brought into your second one, I guess, a learning tool?
This might be a weird answer, but to not allow my insecurities to have as much power because they're not qualified
for
the job. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we think about what we want more than what we need. And also, I think we get so caught up in the romance and the love and like the feelings. And I was so cynical after my first divorce. I mean, I literally was like, I wish I was a lesbian. I am never going to.
Sup, girl?
Yeah. I was like, men suck. I was a waitress when I was struggling. And these couples would come in for like their 10th or 20th anniversary. And I'd be like, they're just pretending they hate each other. Like, I was the most cynical human being. And then when I met my current husband and we, you know, I started liking him and everything, I had those romantic feelings, but I kept asking myself, would you go into business with this person? Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, I think sex is important. I think romance is important, all of it. But so much of marriage, especially raising kids and all that, it is a business. You're literally running a business. And if you wouldn't trust to run a business, or if you don't, you know, have strengths that complement each other, whatever, then don't do it. So I threw out it. I know that's a weird thing to say.
No, I think it's brilliant.
It's very unromantic. But let's be honest, like the day-to-day life.
Yeah.
It's negotiating. It's compromising. Yes. It's setting boundaries. It's figuring all that out. Absolutely.
Do you have the strengths that I don't? Do you? And are you a good listener? And do you respect me?
Mm-hmm.
And does my opinion matter? I mean, all of it, right?
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, you just asked my husband if he was a good listener. Because the other day, I was telling him something. I go, no, I said, do you agree? And he goes, yeah, totally. He goes, I'm sorry, wait, what did you say? And I was like, oh my God, you just agreed with what I said.
He was just so enamored with how beautiful you looked that day that he couldn't even focus.
Thank you, Christine.
You're
took
welcome.
Words out of my mouth.
Right. I just think that's funny. What's one thing like in your marriage? Because I always think it's, you know, it's so easy to blame. Like it's easy to blame my spouse for him doing something, but it's so much harder to look at yourself in the mirror and evaluate yourself. So what's one thing that you could do better as a spouse and as a person?
I need to be way more patient. Mm-hmm. I tend to be, it's interesting. I feel like sometimes our greatest weaknesses are our greatest strengths in other areas. Like I'm impulsive and it's good because I put myself out there, but I need to be way more patient. And I am a much bigger personality And I think the bigger personality in the relationship sometimes needs to like make sure that the other person is being heard and seen.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy for us not to even realize like, wait a second, I'm kind of running the whole show here. Mm-hmm. And right. I didn't even consider like, where are you? Are you good?
Mm-hmm. You know? See, I think that's interesting because I feel like from a spectator of that personality, mm-hmm. you got, I'm going to speak for both of y'all. You guys are probably like, well, they're not up to speed with me. That's their issue.
Yeah.
That they're not as fast as I am. When really, it, from a more understanding, empathetic place, it may be that. It's like
just
maybe.
Thank us, though, for being.
Maybe, maybe I do need to take a step back and, you know,
yeah.
be on the same field, you know, level as them.
And I start making a conscious decision to like every day ask my husband, hey, how are you doing? What do you need? What can I do to like make your day better?
Yeah.
Because it's so easy for me to get caught up in all my stuff and I'm so hyper and blah, blah, and I got kids. Just taking that moment to go. Is there anything I can do for you today? Like, is there anything you need?
That's a really good takeaway. Yeah.
That is good.
I like that.
We actually do that for each other pretty often.
Yeah. We need to check in more often. I think that's kind of going.
Okay. Can I tell you something that my husband and I do every once in a while that's like the best thing ever?
What?
Please.
So if he texts me, we started doing this before we were even married. If he texts me and says, hey, this is Philip. Obviously, I know his number, right? But if he texts me and says that, then I know what's happening. And I'll say, oh, hi. And he'll go, so it was great meeting you. Can I take you on a date?
Oh, super and triggering then, for us.
No,
but great idea.
No, we are. We go to a place we've never been and we completely play it up. And then at the end, when you get all, it feels like the first time because you played it up for like 2 hours. Sorry, too cheesy.
No, super sweet would be really triggering for us because of our history.
Oh. Okay, never mind.
But super
just
sweet. No, but that's
I thought
a really
you said
great.
Cheesy, not triggering.
No. But it's super cute. Would be super cute. Yeah.
just not for us. Wouldn't work for us. But no, it's adorable.
I would love that. Yeah. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
We can make that work. No, I don't think you would.
Maybe.
You think so?
Yeah.
Scratch maybe. That. Let's delete that whole part out of the podcast.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's
that's
so good.
Because that's our reality. Yeah. You know, that's the things that
and
we that
you have
we
to find
with.
Out what works
okay,
for.
Okay. And that's really important too.
Yeah.
Like every couple is different. Just like I always tell parents, like parenting is not a science. What works for one kid or one family won't work for you. You got to, it's not a science. It's an art. You got to do it, paint your way. Right. So you know what works for your relationship.
1,000,000%.
Speaking of kids, there's one thing that's on our one sheet right here.
Wait, can I tell her about the story about that one kid that I talked about in a previous episode?
Sure.
So, cause this will lead into your question.
Okay.
So my daughter was at a play date and this kid was kind of being obnoxious and I walked in, he goes, no parents allowed. And I was like, well, actually, I am allowed because I'm her parent, but I'm also her friend. And he goes, you're not a friend. He's like, and I said, yes, I am. And he goes, no, you're not. A parent can't be a friend. And I said, well, I am Jolie's friend and I'm also her parent. So I wanted to be like, sit down, like you little brat. And Jolie goes, yeah, my mom, my friend. And I said, that's right, Jolie. It was like the cutest thing ever. But then we read on your notes, it said that you don't think, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, you said, it says she's totally cool having her kids be mad at her because she's the parent, not their friend.
So here's how I see it. It depends on how you define friendship, right?
Yep.
So for example, when I'm mad at my ex, I will not talk about it with my kids. I will talk about it with my girlfriends, but not with my kids. I will not put
you
that
have
burden
boundaries.
On them. Let's say we have financial difficulties. I don't think a kid should carry that weight. You know what I mean? So there's also, I do not wipe my friends' butts. If it was an emergency, I might take one for the team, but usually I don't. So I do feel like it's
do you hold her hair back though?
Yes. Okay. But here's the main part of that. I think a lot of parents, it becomes very important that their kid likes them at all times because our friends, we usually like each other, right? Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of relationship. And especially as your kids get older and become preteens and teens, you have to become okay with my kid doesn't like me 100% of the time. And that's okay. My job isn't to be liked by them. My job is to raise decent, kind, amazing human beings. Do you know what I mean? And so I think that's where it gets tricky. We're like, oh, but she's my best friend and I want her to like me. And so, okay, maybe I'll let her have this. And then you end up raising an entitled kid. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I think it's just about having healthy boundaries around.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because
and the way I say it is like, I'm not my kid's best friend, but I am their ally. I'm their greatest cheerleader.
Oh, yeah.
I believe they can talk to me about anything without talking down at me. I believe they can come to me with anything. You know what I mean?
I just still like personally saying that I am her. I can be her friend, but I can also be her mom and also discipline her.
Yeah.
And say, that's okay. Like sometimes I don't like my friend.
Yeah.
Because she's telling me, she's calling me out.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
She can still be my friend and I can still be the mom. Yeah. That's just kind of how I looked at it too.
Because that makes
there's
sense.
Times I think, when I don't like my friend.
That makes sense. I see a lot of people though, moms who just want to really be cool and liked.
Yeah.
And then it just, you end up with kids
totally.
That you don't even want to hang out with when they're adults. Like, I want to raise the kind of kids that actually enjoy hanging out with me.
Right.
Like, I want
that we
go
can
grab
enjoy
a drink
going
with
to.
You.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's the whole stigma around that whole kind of when people say one way or the other because of that reason. There's so many parents out there that it's the whole concept now, right? When a kid gets in trouble at school, they don't go to their kid and say, what'd you do wrong? They go to the teacher and say, what'd you do wrong?
I have a problem with that. I mean, seriously, like I think too many parents are bailing their kids out. Here's the thing. We're worried about what makes our kid happy now instead of the long term.
Right.
And like, you have to think long term. What life lesson are they learning? Because our job is to raise them so we can let them fly, right? Mm-hmm. And if we're constantly rescuing them, they are not getting a realistic view of what life is like.
Amen.
So, you know, I make my older two kids start doing their laundry at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my friends are like, they're only 10. I'm like, it's really
Jolie
not that
does
hard.
Her laundry now.
See, yeah. This is what so, I mean. If they know how to press buttons on an iPad, they know how to press buttons on a washing machine.
She puts her clothes in the washer. Like, that is part
That's
of her
so
thing.
Cute.
Like, all right, Jolie, it's time to do laundry.
Yeah.
But I always think, like, happy now versus happy long term. Like, getting a pap smear doesn't make me happy in this moment, but in the long term, it's a good idea.
Right.
So same with my kids, like,
so uncomfortable.
Making this rule right now, I know it won't make you happy, but in the long term, you're going to end up being a better human being because of it.
No question. I think it just comes back to what you said at the beginning. It's like, what's your definition of friendship, right?
Yep.
So for Jana and I, it's someone who's going to call you on your someone who's got your back no matter what, someone who's going to love you, but also be there to, you know, steer you in the right way. So, you know, for us, it all depends on what
exactly.
It just depends on
definition?
How you define it. Depends on what that means for you personally. So, but I always think it's interesting because we have come across people that are very don't go into the definition of friendship. Are very just like, nope, I'm the parent. Yeah. If they want to talk about this, then go to their friend.
And that's actually really bad. I think one of the most important.
I mean, I got into a fight. It was with like Boris Kodjo at our show, and we ended up kind of stopped talking because he just was so strong in his opinion, and that's fine. That's his opinion, but I have a different opinion. That's okay too.
See, the whole creating an environment, and again, I'm speaking as someone who has an almost 16-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Ooh.
Creating an environment where your kids will come and talk to you about anything and you will never shut them down is so important. Because here's the thing.
Huge.
Even young kids will come to us with uncomfortable questions and we're like, oh my gosh, where did you hear that? And if we say to them, we can't talk about that, or we'll talk about it when you're older, if you think that's going to stop them from asking,
they're going to talk to a friend.
They're going to start asking somebody else.
Yeah.
And you don't want them finding out from a 8-year-old who has a teenage sister about sex, right?
Right.
So my 16-year-old, I mean, he's a boy. He literally tells me stuff that I'm like, I'm sitting there and I act very, you always got to act very like, oh, sure. Yeah. Let's talk about that. That's great.
And in your head, you're like, what the?
Then you hide in the closet with a big cake and a bottle of wine and you stress eat and go, what the hell?
Yeah.
In front of them, you're like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
No
thing.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm scared of those days.
So
I'm scared of those days, but I can't wait to watch Jana squirm because she just hates that uncomfortable confrontation.
Yep. Good times.
Teenagers are like, it's the hardest thing ever. But I just keep reminding myself, it's so much harder being a teenager than parenting a teenager.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you feel so much more grace. And also there's something really cool about watching them turn into adults. Like, slowly, they're not adults yet, but just going, wow, I understand your passions now. I mean, it makes me emotional. It's really cool.
You get a glimpse of who they're going to end up being, you know, those little personality traits or whatever.
Can we drink wine together?
Yes.
Because I just really like you.
Croatia, on the beach.
Great.
I thought we
just
already
love
had this
everything
plan.
About you. Well, it's like baby steps that start in Nashville first, and then we'll go there. Okay, so where can our listeners find you?
So I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. It's all at Christina with a K, KUZMIC. And then if you go to ChristinaKuzmicLive.com, all the cities for my tour are listed there.
Good luck with the second half of your tour. That's so exciting.
You guys should come. It's a really fun parents' night out.
Oh, please. Is there, I'll look online after you leave.
You know what? I'm going to call my producer and be like, Nashville.
Oh, please.
Add the city.
Yes.
Let's do it. 100%.
Christina Kuzmic.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
I really like her.
She was awesome.
She's just very chill. And she has you can just tell she has a really good heart.
She has great energy, and it's one of those things where just being able to have the guests in studio and being able to read off their energy is really a benefit for us and getting to know them as a person. And her story is truly inspirational to go from what she's been through and turn it into a successful brand that she is amazing.
I agree with you on that. Hey, Mark, is a special guest, when is he calling in?
About 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes?
We got about 10 minutes to play with here.
I wasn't nervous, but now I am. It's like a ticking clock.
Wait,
who could this possibly be?
Can I just ask, can I do a couple yes or no's before he calls? And he can try and guess?
He can ask you yes or no?
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Mark.
I'll allow it.
He'll allow it. Okay, so you get five. You get five. So I'm going to one.
But what
two,
if he figures
three,
it out
four.
Before the person calls, then it kind of takes away the whole surprise, doesn't it?
I'll lie.
You guys, I think obviously you haven't played games with Jana yet.
I think
this is how she rolls.
One or two, not five.
Three. Okay, I'm crossing off two hands. There you go. All right.
But I don't want to know.
Just guess.
Can I veto?
Yes, you can veto.
All right. You can veto. All right.
Like if I feel like the answer will give it away too much, I'll okay. veto.
Yes or no question?
Yes.
That's one.
I'm down to two. No.
Yes, you are. I'm definitely crossing that off because that was a question. Good job, Mark. You're down to two.
Is he an athlete?
I'll allow it.
No. You got one more question.
Oh, then I don't care.
He said, thanks for coming on that one. You don't care?
No, I'm just kidding.
Because he's not an athlete?
Is he tall?
Mark is going to Google.
I'll allow it,
one
but
second.
I'm going to have to look up this person's actual height.
That's an I don't know.
And tall is... Is 6'2 or taller.
Okay, then we're going to have Mark answer this one.
He's not tall.
Oh. Deceiving. Oh, this is so much fun. I love
he's games. A non-athlete and he's not tall.
Nick Woodard.
Yeah, sounds like Nick. Love you, Nick.
All right, how about an email while we wait for the surprise?
Okay. That was fun. I love games. Games are like my love language.
Actually, I have back-to-back Nicoles. How do you feel about that?
Come on.
Great.
Nicole is asking, she says, my fiance and I just got engaged. We already live together, so that won't be a surprise. But I want to make sure we're stepping into this on the right foot. What things do you think are important for us to discuss and keep in mind before marriage? Do you have any tips that could help us start off things well?
Therapy.
Yeah. Do you believe in therapy? That's a huge one. Because yeah. I think if the guy doesn't believe in therapy, if you guys run into issues, that's going to be a real hard thing to get over and be that would be really frustrating because because there's a lot of guys that I know that would be like I don't believe in therapy and that always makes me kind of scratch my head like I get why it might be uncomfortable. Oh, Mark's over there. Do you not believe in therapy?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I think that the average age that men get married at, whether it's maybe late 20s, mm-hmm. those guys aren't ready for therapy. I mean they are like they don't know they are and they won't admit they are. They still think they got the whole world figured out.
Right, but they should be open, though, to having that conversation about
therapy. I don't think I would have been at that age.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
What about you, babe?
What about me?
Like, would you have gone to therapy if things didn't go haywire?
Yeah, I think so.
You would have had that?
Yeah, because I enjoy talking stuff out. I mean, I still felt like I had the world figured out, like Mark said, but... Mm-hmm. I've never been like opposed to it. Even when we first met and got together, I was on board. I'd never been to therapy before.
It's because I threatened you with therapy. I was like,
you better go to therapy.
You better sit here.
No, but, and I think, you know, people have the misconception that they only need therapy when there's already problems.
Agreed.
But that's not the case.
Totally agree.
You can avoid a lot of problems by
having
being proactive
check-ins.
And going to therapy and having someone to talk to. And it doesn't even have to be couples therapy. You can avoid conflict in your relationship by going to individual therapy
mm-hmm.
and just learning more about yourself and then sharing that with your partner.
Sidebar, though. I kind of feel like sometimes, though, therapy has then made the relationship like more arguments. Like there was this one therapist.
It depends on your therapist.
Where I'm just like, are you trying to make us fight right now? You know, like we left. Now we're leaving worse off.
In her mind, she's like, thinking she's bringing issues to the surface that need to come out at some point.
But then she's like, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know. And I'm like,
And that's the thing. You got to find a good therapist.
Really?
Even if you don't call it therapy, maybe that's part of the stigma attached to it. Like,
what would you call it?
I'm not sure exactly. But like when Amy and I met with our pastor, we met with our pastor before he married us. That was a really enjoyable time. And that was really the only time we had that kind of a therapy-like environment before we got married. So even if you just talk to somebody... And get those kind of feelings out and get a dialogue going. That could be very helpful.
Talking to your local pastor or anything? Absolutely. And that's free.
I would, if your fiance is open and is intact with his feelings, I would like to know how he deals with issues. Because I think that could really cause an interesting ripple in...
How does she deal with issues?
Well, same. Like, to talk about that.
Right.
Yeah. So, like...
And to approach the topic...
If she closes off, and it's like, how to help me when I'm in that situation, or what would be good... Like, if she's the kind of person that doesn't want to have confrontation and needs a minute, him going after her and being like, well, talk to me, like, that's just going to cause an argument.
Right.
So maybe they need to cool... Like, how do they deal with confrontation, and how do they deal with...
Which is just a part of learning each other as you grow in your relationship.
But that might be... important for us to discuss, to keep in mind before marriage. That was a question, right?
Yeah.
How they deal with kids, parenting.
Yeah, religion, parenting styles.
Do you want kids?
All of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm baffled by people who've been married for years and realize the other person doesn't want kids the same way they do, or more or less, or not at all. That's
right.
That's you do need to discuss that ahead of time.
Well, here's the problem. So I can't say her name, but. Someone has been dating someone for a really long time, and she knew in the beginning that he didn't want kids, but now it's been 8 years and he still doesn't, but she's like, I just thought that maybe I'd get him there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but you knew.
I mean, what woman out there doesn't think they can change a man?
There, I mean, yes.
Most
no.
of them can.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. I don't blame you guys for having those thoughts.
Yeah,
it's true, but I think it's a similar thing. Young guys, I don't want kids. I'm just gonna, I'm living the party, laughing, and having fun. Yeah. But then as you get older, we have our own version of a biological clock. You do start to think about that stuff. So I could see that changing. But of course, I mean, I think Michael and I would agree we're both better people because of our wives.
There's no question.
Obviously,
I would be a train wreck.
You know, you wouldn't. It would have just, like, if we would have ended up getting divorced, I think you would have just, it would have taken you another 5 to 6 years to clean up shop. Maybe.
Post our relationship, like post-divorce?
Yeah.
Here's a fun game, guys. Let's talk about what would happen if Jana and I did get divorced.
No, but I'm just saying.
Alternate
like, I think,
reality.
Like, I just, or even if, like, we never met. Like, I think, like, you needed... You might have married someone like maybe one of your...
If we never met, it definitely would have been a train wreck.
Yeah.
I don't know. It would have been a long time since I was able to settle down. Or I would have...
Maybe the type of girl you might have ended up picking might not have been...
The kind of girl I should be with.
Or that would like stay to help you through it. I don't know. Maybe.
Who knows?
I would be in... Where would I be? I'd be in Georgia.
Who knows?
Who knows? Oy vey.
Well, this transitions right well into the next Nicole's email, and I'm sorry you don't have this one, but it's just real quickly.
I have it.
No, you do?
Yeah.
No, that's anonymous.
Oh, anonymous. Yeah, I don't
Nicole.
Have it. Okay.
I don't have it. I have it for you here.
Okay. That's okay.
But basically, in a nutshell, married 6 years, two beautiful girls. How do you deal with wanting another child, but your spouse says they're done? My husband says he's done. He doesn't want any more. I absolutely want one more child. He will not even entertain the thought. How do you get over that feeling, or how do you talk him into it?
I think she needs to have a very... deep conversation with him and say, hey, like I truly want another kid. I feel like I might hold resentment if we don't have another one.
Okay.
And I think because if she doesn't have that conversation, she is going to resent him for the fact that she wanted another one.
Okay.
And he can then say, I will resent you.
I was just about to say, devil's advocate. I'm him in this situation. I want to have a deep conversation with you, honey. It's really important to me that we don't have another kid. Because I don't want to be raising any more kids until we're however old. And I still want us to have our time in our life. And I will resent you.
Wait, is this a real talk?
Well, you and I are already done.
But I don't know, though.
He got a vasectomy.
It doesn't matter.
It matters.
It still kind of matters.
It very much matters.
It doesn't. Like, Jace is sitting up now. Like, I want another baby.
It's not happening. Is this from Nicole? Is this from you?
You said maybe.
The time to say that would have been pre-vasectomy.
Well, right now, I'm saying in the
future.
Okay,
honey, get a temporary vasectomy. We'll figure it out later. Jeez.
I don't know, Nicole. That's tough. Maybe I...
But no, I think it's a good question, though, because how do you determine if both people are that way? Both people are like, look, I will resent you, or I'll feel a lot of resentment if... you force me your way or I force you my way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you know what's right?
Well, if it depends how strong you feel about it, because I mean, look at our one friend, for example, she wanted a baby. She was married for 10 years. He said, I do not want to have kids. She divorced him.
Right. That's a baby. They have two.
Right.
So no, you can make arguments for each where for her, it's like, he can say, honey, we have two beautiful kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you, what inside of you makes you want to have a third? You know, and then she can kind of say the same thing back to him. Like, we already have two.
It's so hard though. Like for the one, like Jace is sitting up, babe. He's not a baby anymore.
Yeah. Jana said a while back, she was like, one day, or I said in the car, I was like, yeah, one day we're not even going to have a crib in the house. She's like, what? She was like, what do you mean? I was like, Jace is going to grow up. She's like, I don't know if I can handle that. I'm like, well, that's kind of the whole point is for kids to grow up. But
then we can adopt or have another one. We can just like get a little needle out of your vasectomy.
You know what I have found is mine are 13 and 10. When the 13-year-old reaches a milestone, it's exciting. When she graduates elementary school, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. When the youngest one reaches a milestone, it's devastating.
Why? Oh, yeah, right. Because it's your last one.
Because it's the last one.
And which is how she feels with Jace, right?
But and that's a weird thing because you want to be equally happy for both of them, but we're not. We're so sad when it's the youngest one. And she's like, why? You were so happy for Allie. Which I was like, I know, but it's different.
So what if your wife came to you and was like, I want another baby?
We've always been on the same page and it's been great.
But if she wasn't, she's like, I want another baby.
Boy, that would be a long conversation because I've also had a vasectomy. I'm a strong proponent of my vasectomy that's now 10 years old.
might be a little leaky there. I don't know.
That could happen. We haven't been doing the checkups or whatever you're supposed to do. We haven't done that since. So we're both on the same page. I would not want another. I don't want to start over. That's what I feel. I feel like it would be starting over.
I just, especially with you guys, because 13 and 10, it's like, whew, that's
like your brother.
Yeah, almost 14 years, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, for me, and you may call it selfish, we have one of each, and a third, when I just think about when they're all in school, and they all have extracurricular activities, they have sports, they have recitals and all that, we will never have time for ourselves. With three kids?
This is my world.
So here's my fear, and this is might be an irrational fear. I'm afraid that when all the kids move out, that maybe you won't like me anymore. So there wouldn't be, like, there's going to be all this.
That's right. I'm using you for our kids.
No. I mean, like, you know, because we're going to be so busy the next how many years their kids and the activities and everything going on, that when it's quiet and there isn't a kid in the house, are you going to like the person next to you?
For sure. And to speak on that.
But I think a lot of people have that weird...
Oh, it's all the emptiness syndrome. I mean, it's...
Because maybe they don't really like... Because a lot of people just stay together because they're kids. And it's like, do I even like my husband that's across from me?
Well, and that's what... You know, we do all the work...
I do, by the way.
Oh, thanks, honey. Yeah. We do all the work that we do kind of also in preparation of that, where we don't just pass each other, which a lot of people get sucked into, understandably so. We even see where we go a couple of days, we're like, holy crap, like we haven't really talked or connected. That's... Make that intentional time. So we're doing our work now in prevention of that. And then also for me, from a selfish mindset, I'm looking forward to those days because that's kind of another reason I don't want a third. So you and I are still at a decent age to go do stuff together, to go travel, to hang out, to do stuff for us again.
Yep.
Like that's going to be so much fun. The kids are in school.
But like you'll still want me? Like I feel like...
You're damn right.
I feel like you would want to like trade up like younger or something or I don't know. Like, I feel like you wouldn't like...
Better looking than you?
A younger version, sure.
No!
I guess it's just like a weird... Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm alone in that. Maybe other women feel the same thing, but...
I'm sure male and female people might feel that way. But
do you understand that at all, Mark? Or no?
I see where Mike's coming from. I can't wait till the kids are gone, which is sounds meaner than I mean it to be. But I look forward to the days of traveling with my wife and just having our lives.
So like you still like
the two
your
of
wife
us again. I love my wife, and I can't wait for it to be the two of us again, so we can have the freedom that we really don't have right now.
I don't know why I have such a fear of like.
But that. Like, and for me, like think about when we went for our anniversary. Right, we went to Nobu, and then we just sat in the back of my truck. At the beach in Malibu.
So
and that didn't go
awesome.
According to plan, but it was just cool. We just hung out.
Yeah.
We laid there. We got there too early. We had like 2 hours till sunset. It was like a hurricane wind.
And I couldn't set the tent up. And it was so
windy.
So we
just had to lay like bunkered in the back of my truck like to get out of the wind. But we just laid there and hung out.
Yeah.
And how much fun did we have? We laughed. We played games. Like it was fun.
And don't focus on 2039.
Right.
That's true.
Focus on today.
We have a long, even though it goes fast, it goes fast. Anyone with older kids, like, you know, Mark can say it goes so fast. Enjoy every moment, right?
True.
We still have a long time. We have 18 years.
So that's what I'm saying. You have 18 years to like not like me.
Or I have 18 years to fall even more in love with you and like you that much more.
Thanks, babe.
glass half full kind of guy over here.
And I'm like, watch the world burn.
Yeah. Pessimism.
And I'll wrap this up by saying, according to a new survey, spouses are 50% more likely to cheat after the empty nest kicks in. All right.
Oh, my
the phone.
Big work.
The guest is on the line. We need to get to our special guest.
I hate you right now.
I don't know if we joke. Well, I got mine out of the way early, so. Maybe we don't have to worry about it on the back end. We can laugh now.
Thanks, Mark. I mean, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you guys ready for the special guest? Because I'm so excited.
I don't know if I'm
special
ready.
Guest.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yes.
Hey. So you have Jana and Mike, and thank you so much for calling in. So can I just play a quick little game with you, because my husband doesn't know who you are right in this moment. He will know, but can we play the yes or no game? Because he's actually obsessed with you, and so the fact that he doesn't know right now isn't even great.
No,
so,
this is...
Michael, you get three guesses, okay?
Three yes or no,
and he has to answer.
Are you in entertainment?
Yeah.
Are you? Do you have brown hair?
No.
Are you handsome?
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have no idea.
You can ask one more.
Keep going.
This is good.
Why don't you narrow down the entertainment worlds?
Yeah, narrow it down a little bit, babe.
Are you an actor?
No.
No.
He's literally doing a graph right now on a piece of paper.
Blonde, handsome. Or
why do you think blonde?
Not brunette. I should say not brunette.
My hair is kind of blackish brown.
Blackish brown.
This is so good. Keep going with
so
the
not
entertainment.
An athlete, not an
not athlete,
an actor.
Not an actor. What would be another entertainment?
What's another entertainment?
Oh, Michael. What do I do?
Sing? Oh, singer. Are you a singer?
Yeah.
Okay. Singer. Uh-huh. Handsome.
Handsome.
Handsome singer.
Are you tall?
We already said, remember? You already guessed that.
Oh, yeah. No. Do you sing country music?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. This is killing me.
Why don't you just sing a little something that he would know?
Okay.
It's going to be really embarrassing if I don't know this.
You will.
You will.
Darling, I can't explain when we lose our way. That is driving me insane. And I know I just need one more chance to prove my love to
you. I just saw you guys in Vegas.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for coming on our show. So,
oh, Sean.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Wow. You know, Jana told me, like, I'll be starstruck and all that stuff. And I was like, who? Like, I don't get starstruck. And we just saw you guys in Vegas. So I was like, she wouldn't know. Because that's, like, the only people.
So, Sean, so
awesome.
So we stood in the meet and greet line. So my husband, I said, you know, bucket list person. Like, who would be your bucket list starstruck person? You know, person that you would want to meet. And he said, you know, Boys to Men. And so I knew you guys were doing a residency in Vegas. And so,
right.
You know, we, our producer, Amy Sugarman, got us the tickets and we got the meet and greets, and he was so nervous, like,
oh, wow.
So
and
nervous to meet you guys.
Nervous.
And he was like, you know, tall, he's 6'6", like bald, tall dude. And he's going, I was like, honey, just breathe. Like, you're going to be okay. Like, you know, he played in the NFL. And so he's, you know, he's met like a bunch of people, but he was like so nervous to meet you. And then he didn't even, I was going to say something, but then I didn't want to embarrass him. But like, he really wanted to have a conversation with, you know, with you and you guys. And so I think like, I mean, I know you still enjoyed meeting them, but it's still like, you know, you probably
We know
wanted...
how the business works, so we know how these meet and greets are. But it's one of those things, right? A meet and greet is different than sitting down and having a conversation with these people or whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's very true. And well, now you have the convo now, bro.
Man.
So what up now? You got to ask a bunch of questions, babe.
Right? Like, no pressure. Man, first of all, Sean, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time, man. I really appreciate it. And, honey, thank you.
You're welcome.
As well.
My pleasure. I hope you enjoyed the show in Vegas.
I did, man. And you guys are still doing it. And I was
a little sour because I didn't get a rose, but that's fine.
Jana's too little to get up there and push everyone out of the way to get one of those roses.
It really is natural selection. These girls fight.
They were fighting.
Yeah, they were out, man. Yeah. The lions were out.
I mean, that's got to be a good feeling that after all these years, you guys still get that kind of reaction and that kind of love. Like, did you ever think it was going to last this long?
Well, it might sound pretentious, but I sure hoped it did.
Right, I love that.
We all love music, mm-hmm. and we got into this to do this for a long time. I mean, rather, once we got signed and things started to get serious, we wanted to find ways to figure out how long we could make these things last. And mm-hmm. and it's not a perfect blueprint. There's no guidebook to any of this. You kind of just follow your instincts. You make your mistakes. You stumble, but you hope that your talent and your gift to sing or perform and your love to perform and sing outweighs it all. And somehow you fight through it and you still continue to do it throughout all the mess. And we've been through a lot of mess, and we're so honored still to be here doing things, and people still love our music. Like, no lie, like, I'll be on stage sometimes, and I'll look over the crowd, and I'm saying to myself, what are they doing here?
Right.
We're crying, and we're singing along to every single word. Like, that's, I mean, the amount of times that I sing your guys' songs, and I cook to you guys in the kitchen, and my husband and I are driving, you know, around town, like listening to your songs, you're so the nostalgia. I can never say the word. Nostalgia in this is, I mean, it's, you know, we grew up listening to your guys' music. And
you know what? And that's the biggest compliment ever. The fact that people still get it. People still get us, and they understand what it is that we were trying to do. As far as I'm concerned, mission accomplished. Like,
we did
exactly what we wanted to do, which was make music that people could listen to and use for the rest of their lives.
And it stands the test of time too. I mean, it's still like the songs are just as freaking good as they were 20 years ago.
And that's a testament to y'all's talent, right? Because that's the thing with music or any kind of entertainment. It's, people feel like they have to conform to society and what the supply and demand is and all that stuff. But you guys have just done you since day one. I mean, y'all are legends, man. Like, legends.
Thank you.
Like you said at the beginning, you hoped it would last this long, but I mean, to get to the set, you guys are legends.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. I mean, oh my gosh.
It's an honorable thing.
For sure.
It's an honor to be even called that title. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I blow that off because it's like, that's such a heavy crown to wear, but it's like, it's still so nice that people look at us in that regard. And all we can do with that is to not, you know, be buttholes about it.
Just
take it in, enjoy it, and still do our best. Throughout all these years, if anything, it doesn't make us arrogant. It just makes us feel more determined and responsible to do greater things, and that's what we're always trying to do.
No question. And I think, you know, just from seeing your show in Vegas, just the humility you guys have with your presence, the way you guys were at meet and greet, the way you guys even are on stage, and the way you interact. It's just a testament to y'all as people and as human beings, because there's so many stories out there where somebody meets, you know, their bucket list person or someone they've always looked up to, and then they get that negative response from them because they let things get to them. And so that's, again, a testament to you guys as men and human beings. And for me, the Boyz II Men album was the first album I ever bought.
Oh, wow.
Very first one that I ever bought as a kid. And, you know, it's funny to say that because I'm 32. I don't, you know, I'm a grown man now, and being a kid.
Yeah.
On paper, I am. On paper, I'm a grown man.
On paper,
at home, it's a little different. So is that something that you guys take? You're like, damn, we feel old, or is it one of those things where it is a compliment that, man, I've been listening to you since I was a kid?
You know, at this day and age, being old is damn cool.
Mm. Absolutely.
Cool. I like being old because it's only one alternative. And, yep. You know, I'd rather be called old yet still prove to people that being old doesn't mean you're washed up or you can't do the things that you used to do when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
I like dispelling myths like that and things of that nature. Like, that's been most of my career with my guys.
Right.
There's been a lot of, well, you can't, and still is, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So, but that's the cool thing about being alive. You get to prove people wrong.
So I'll be
old. I'll be considered old. I'm right. Old.
I love that. So you're doing, you have a solo song out now.
Yes, I have a solo song out, and I also have a solo EP. Again, just trying to stretch the boundaries, not necessarily mm-hmm. trying to do the whole typical cliche thing where you see guys.
Are you Justin Timberlake in it right now?
Well, you know, I don't get that. I don't understand why a guy who's in a group goes solo and just has to leave the group completely. Like, why
right.
not?
Right.
Why not do both? Like, you know, right. take some time off to do you and then do the group and go back. It's perfectly doable.
Because it works for everybody that way, too, you know?
It works for everybody, yeah. And this is just more or less a creative effort for me to go out and stretch out. It's an EP entitled Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And
has it come out yet?
It's out now. You can download it on iTunes.
Okay.
It's five songs. It's just strictly R&B music that you
love
can
it.
Hang with your loved one with. Mm. You can cruise down the street with. You can cook your food with. Mm-hmm. You can make a little love with. Like, you know, it's basically the thing that people would expect from somebody like me, but it's just without the two other guys in the group.
And how are the guys with that? Are they super supportive of you and doing that thing?
They're extremely supportive, and they, you know, they give their critiques and, you know, things of that nature, and which is what I appreciate. And, you know, I just keep it moving from that point.
What part of the business have you seen it change that you don't like?
How long is this show? Well, I think it's the generational gap that at one point there was never a gap. Like, from my generation, respected the artists that came before, years before. Like, we had conversations and talks and actual shows with the Temptations and Stevie Wonder and the Four Tops and, you know, Michael Jackson and guys that, you know, came before us, and we would have powwows with them and learn, and they would tell us stuff and teach us things and all this other stuff. It's like, what I noticed in this generation is that, yeah, they acknowledge us. We were just talking about this yesterday, me and my guys, but the respect is gone. It's like they lack the ability to show respect.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily, you know, be a kiss ass, but, you know, understand who's in front of you.
Who became, who was before you, who paved the way for you.
Right. And not only that, understand that their ability still remains. They're still mm-hmm. very much intact. It's mm-hmm. like, and, mm-hmm. you know, I hate to make it a black-white thing, but it's normally with you know, black artists, right?
Mm.
I stand in awe when I see 80,000 people show up to a Rolling Stone concert, and they're each about 145 years old, and they go out there and they still rock out. And you see, of course, fans that probably are the same age, and then you see their kids,
right?
Like, the respect and the legacy of the respect of the legacy is there, And I just wished the same thing, you know, for artists like myself and, you know, other artists too, that the younger generation embraces the stuff that we did and still continue to do. And we're willing participants in wanting to show them things and wanting to teach them and have them learn, because that's what was bestowed upon us. So we just want to carry on the tradition and teach these kids, but they seem like a lot of them just don't want to be taught.
They feel like they get it all figured out.
Well, you know, Michael Jordan said something about sports when he said, you know, money destroys the game. Mm. And to some degree, it's the same thing with the music industry. These kids, thanks to streaming and downloads and Instagram and you get instant gratification if you're, you know, have something out there that people can see. Right. You become popular so quickly without any type of proper guidance. So instantly they feel like, oh, well, you can't tell me nothing.
Right.
Now you get like, you know, look at all these streams I got, you know, look at this gold watch I bought. Look at this car, you know, that type of thing. Like, what are you going to tell me, old man,
right,
that I don't already know? And I'm like, well, how to stay around maybe longer than two summers?
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be able to sell a record back then. So,
but that's the thing. I think it tends to make me, because you see, it's almost like watching a kid drive a car off a cliff. Mm-hmm. When you could have told him, like, yo, don't do that.
Right.
And I've seen so many do it, and so many do it constantly. You hear artists here today, gone today. And that's sad to me. And they don't want to, you know, a lot of them don't want to listen. So, but that's one of the main things, I think. There's a few others, but I think that's the one that kind of sticks out, mainly because we were just, the guys and I were just discussing that yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. And now, Sean, outside of music, do you have any other kind of things that you're getting into business-wise or for yourself?
I do have, my wife and I have an indoor playground in Woodland Hills.
Ooh.
Yeah, we love kids. And it's funny because when our kids were younger, my sons just turned 16, May 30th. So, you know, but when they were babies, we would throw parties for them and their friends to come over, and all the parents would just come, like, oh my God, you guys throw the best parties. You know what I mean? Like, and my wife is like, you know, we should make this a business one day. And well, lo and behold, we have a indoor playground in Woodland Hills called Scooty Goots.
Love
which
it.
which is a nickname that I gave my twin boys.
Oh, that's cool.
We just kind of named it the company that. And
oh my gosh, I'm looking right now online and it looks adorable. And we're taking our. Is it open on weekends or is it closed on weekends? Because a lot of these places.
Normally, it's closed on weekends for parties, but it is open on the weekdays.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks so cute.
It's fun. It's clean. It's comfortable for the kids and the parents. The parents can sit. They can get their work done. They can make their business calls and not worry about the kids wandering off or anything like that. It's safe. We tried to think of everything, because my wife and I, between our three children, have gone to every playground, indoor, outdoor, in the valley of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So we just took the things that we liked and the things that we didn't, and we incorporated that into our own space.
I love that. Well, yeah. Sean, I cannot thank you enough for calling in. I know you have a million things to do, because we know how important you are and everything you've paved the way for, you know, and for music. And, you know, we really truly do, you know, idolize you guys and Boys to Men. And so we're excited. We're going to download your EP.
Thank you.
And you know what? Yeah, we're going to download and stream it a lot. We're going to buy it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much. And yeah, I appreciate the call. You actually woke me up, because I have to go to a sound check.
Good morning, babe.
Yeah.
And have a great day. We so appreciate it. And everyone needs to go see Boys to Men at their residency. It continues June 7th. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Sean, thank you so much.
Sean, thank you, brother. I really appreciate your time, man.
No, thank you. You got a good woman. She surprised you.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I got a great one.
Thanks, John. Okay. Bye.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye. What do you think?
Wow. That took me by surprise.
Like, you didn't, when he was like started singing, it's like, did you not know?
No, I knew, but I'm like, is someone singing boy? Like, I'm like, why is this person not singing their song? Because we just saw them. Right. So I kind of wrote it off.
Oh, that's funny. Because I was like, babe, it's Boyz II Men.
I know, because you already did that for me.
Right. But you didn't get to talk to him, so I felt bad.
I know. Yeah, you totally blew that weekend. No, I'm just kidding. No, so that's what confused me. I'm like, why is someone else singing
their song?
Why is this person singing Boyz II Men right now?
That is so funny. He's such a nice guy.
Oh, my gosh. He was awesome.
That's so cool. Like, did you ever think the boy that bought his first record, Boyz II Men, would ever talk to him on the phone?
No.
And then meet him in person, too. Oh, I forgot to tell him that you bought that $20 freaking binder of the photo.
Oh, the $80 with the framed photo and everything?
I'm like, you've never wanted one of those things.
It was more like, okay, do you want like the $20, just the file, or do you want to buy this for like $500? Like, yep, $500, let's do it.
I know, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah,
I didn't even give you a chance to respond
to that. No, it was so cute, but no.
That was cool. Honey, I appreciate that. You just go above and beyond.
Hey, thank Amy. She got the contact.
Amy, you're the best.
Give it up to the Shug.
The Shug.
All right, we can't make that any better. Like, we're ending the show right now. There's nothing
else
to say.
What else can we say?
So,
we
talk
just
to you later.
The legend.
Bye.
All right.